The following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible Study titled Matters of the Heart, a study through the book of 2 Corinthians. More information about this study is available at www.refugefamily.com.
I'm beginning to think that maybe chapter 4 is my favorite chapter. And as we've gone over it, I wonder about us. I wonder how many people in here are people pleasers. Yeah. Probably the majority of us are people pleasers, and we have to come to that place to, like Paul, who was in a sense a people pleaser. He was a person pleaser. And he pleased the Lord Jesus Christ in the way that he presented himself and their whole group, the way that they presented themselves before the people. They loved the people. And that is the test of a true leader in any way, or a true Christian, is that we love the people. And it's very, very important that we do that. And so, Lord, as we just get into your word, Father, I pray, God, in the name of Jesus, that you would speak your word. You would speak what you have to share with us today, Lord. We want to be open to your Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord, for a fresh anointing of your Holy Spirit to receive this. Lord, we realize that you are here amongst us. Lord, we're very aware of your presence with us. And Lord, we are so thankful for what you're doing. Father, I just want to pray for the guys as they're up in the mountains right now with this wonderful, exciting weather coming in. And Father, we pray that you would just give them a time up there of refreshing, Lord, a time with you, and just that you would be glorified in the midst of it all, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I did forget an announcement. We are going to try something different this year on May 11th, which is usually our luncheon, our spring luncheon. This year, we are going to be doing a tea, and the tea is going to be from 1 o'clock to 2:30. So it's not going to be a big meal, but it's going to be a really great time here in the sanctuary. We'll still need hostesses that we'll be contacting, and so we're going to see how it goes. See how it goes with doing it a little bit different. This seems to be a year of change, and we are changing a lot of things up. We don't have a price on it yet, but mark the date, May 11th, the day before Mother's Day, and the timing on that is from 1 to 2:30. So you'll be able to take your mom or your daughters or whatever to go out shopping before you come, and then enjoy your time there. It won't be a time of a big lunch, so don't come famished, okay? All right, and so, and I think that was it. Okay, and so I want to start with verse 18 of chapter 3, which, that's the one that you taught, isn't it, Andrea? Did you teach 3? Yeah. And she did a great job on it, didn't she? Just, can you know how talented this girl is amongst us? I mean, my goodness. She leads worship, she teaches, she raises her family, she's on our radio, she's a la, 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 la. She's great at giving announcements. Much better than me, and I really, really appreciate her so much, so I'm thankful that she's here today. But in verse 18 of chapter 3, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. We are being changed. My prayer every day is, Lord, will you change me? Please make me into your likeness. Imagine a picture of that, to be able to look in the mirror and see Jesus. in your life. For others to be able to look at you as if they were looking in a mirror to see Jesus. In us, just as by the Spirit of the Lord, we are being changed from glory to glory. From glory to glory. I love that. And so because of that, because we have this, therefore, since we have this ministry, since we have this ministry of being changed from glory to glory, since we have this ministry of the Holy Spirit, since we have this ministry of mercy, we have a ministry of showing how we can be transformed into his likeness. And because of this ministry, it keeps us going. Because I can look and I know that God is doing a work in my life, I can see him at work in other people's lives, and it keeps me going. I think Paul, along with the rest of us, experienced times of depression. Maybe not clinical depression, but times when he really got somewhat discouraged. He was not the perfect man. Yeah, only Jesus is that. But it kept him going. It says, we do not lose heart because of this. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. As we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. It's that strengthening of the Lord Jesus Christ that keeps us going. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. We have renounced the hidden things. The hidden things of shame. Do not be fooled, ladies. Those sins that we have in our lives from time to time, and we think no one knows. No one's gonna know. They don't know that when I am all alone in my house by myself, that I partake of this particular whatever it is. I'm telling you, when we try to hide our sins, we can't be forgiven of them. And we need to make sure that we are done with the hidden things. J. Vernon McGee says, secret sins on earth are I forgot. In heaven, open scandal in heaven. Secret sins on earth are open scandal in heaven. So don't be fooled into thinking that this sin is not going to be found out. We only need to look at the news from time to time to see that even after some people have died, these things have come out that they thought were hidden. No one will ever know. I'll be gone, and no one will ever know. I'll take it to my grave with me. But God knows, and it always comes out. Be sure that your sins will find you out. So let's be done with the hidden things of shame. Not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. The Judaizers were known for that, for handling the word of God deceitfully. Deceitfully meaning for my gain. I'm preaching the word for my gain, not to bring you into the family of God, not so that you can be blessed, not so that you can be encouraged, but it's all about me and what I can get out of it and what God can, or what I can get from it. But by the manifestation of the truth, by the light coming of the truth, the truth, the truth, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And so it's by the manifestation, the showing of that, that coming to life, that Jesus himself is the truth. And we manifest the truth when we tell it like it is, plainly and in an understandable way. So many times, people, we complicate this whole thing of coming to the Lord. We make it, not us, but there are people who do that, who make it hard for people to come to the Lord because we expect them to change. Maybe we don't expect that, but they somehow have gotten the idea that they can't come to Jesus unless they are completely changed. It's like a fish being cleaned before it's caught. You know, it doesn't work that way. And that cleaning comes along the way. We manifest the truth when we live it in our lives before other people so that we can see it by, they can see it by our example. Paul preached the gospel and he obeyed the gospel in his life. He was a hearer and a doer of the word of God. And so he spoke the truth and he spoke the truth in love. And commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God, so that when I'm living before somebody else, I don't give any reason for shame for the gospel. That no one can say, man, did you see what she did? Did you hear what she said? Now I'm going to mess up. Like all of us, I'm going to mess up. But when people say, did you hear what she said or did you see what she did? I also noticed that she asked forgiveness for it quickly. So instant forgiveness, instant confession, instant forgiveness. So when we're in a place where we do mess up, we confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And God will use that in ways that you just can't even imagine. I have seen that so many times because I mess up so much. Of being able to go to someone and say, you know what, I messed up and I'm really sorry about that. And it gives them opportunity then to let go of what they were probably holding horrible things against me. And so frees them up. And so, but even if our gospel is veiled, verse 3, it is veiled to those who are perishing, those who are dying, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. If they insist on keeping their blinders on, they will never see. Those who keep their eyes veiled, they are taken by the things of this world. They are the gods of this world, taken by, okay, Joy, just breathe here. The God of this age, our physical universe has a sun, and this sun is always shining. But there are times that we're in darkness because there's something between us and that sun. For us, when night comes, it's just that the world is, you know, it's just turned around. We're in darkness because there is something between us and the sun. It's the same thing in this situation. We're blinded by the darkness because we have something between us and them and him. And some of those things, it could be a cloud of pride. It could be self-righteousness. It could be rebellion. It could be 100 other things that keep us from walking in that and keeping people from seeing clearly that Jesus Christ is their Savior and can be their Savior. They have their blinders on. When you first came to the Lord, did you share with someone and you were so excited about what had happened in your life? You were so excited about, I've come to know Jesus as my Savior. And look at this scripture. I remember one time I was on my way to something and my unsaved friends were going with me. I found this thing in Psalms. Look at this. Would you read this? Look, is that just so cool? And they just went, okay, are we going now? They had blinders on. They couldn't see because they weren't walking in the light. They hadn't come to that place of salvation. We read things in the Word and we go, I don't understand that. Sometimes it's just because we have our blinders on and we miss out on what God has for us on that day. The gospel has to do, okay, let's see what we're, the image of God should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves, your bondservants, for Jesus' sake. We do not preach ourselves. Again, the Judaizers were very good about preaching about themselves, talking about how great they are, talking about how wonderful they are, how they kept the law, and so forth. But Paul did not do that, and he included not only himself, but his whole group. We are bondservants. We have decided to serve you for Jesus' sake. For Jesus' sake. There are times in our lives, isn't there, when we decide we're going to serve somebody, but everything in us does not want to serve. Anybody else ever go through that? Or is that just me? Okay, I'll do it. I'll do it. And everything inside of me has this face. But on the outside, oh, let me do that for you. I would be happy to do that for you, although I'm not very good at hiding what's inside of me, fortunately. It forces me to walk in the light. But doing that, choosing to serve someone else, choosing to serve them, Christ the for we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves, your bondservants, for Jesus' sake, that Jesus may be glorified. That's why I want to serve you, that God can be glorified, that Jesus Christ can be glorified, not so that I can be glorified, but so that Christ can be glorified. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It is the God who commanded light to shine. I love that. The glory of God, let me just step back up. The glory of God, for Jesus' sake, that glory, the gospel, Christ in, has to do with Christ in glory. It's not the carpenter of Nazareth. It is not simply Christ on the cross. It is the Lord Jesus Christ who has died, who has been buried, who has risen again, and who is even now at the right hand of the Father in heaven. That is the object of our faith. That's the glorified God in heaven. That's the one that we share with one another, with the other people as well. And so with this light in verse 6, for it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. In the beginning, God said, let there be light, and light was. But now he's saying that the same God who originally commanded light to shine out of darkness has shone in our hearts. That is, God himself shines in our heart. God himself. How much of that shines out to the people that we come in contact with? The material creation in Genesis began with light, and so also does our spiritual creation. God shines in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, and then spiritual life begins. The one who made the light to shine in the very beginning now is in our hearts. He can live in our hearts and shine in this world that we live in. But I'm moving on to verse 7 because it's so fitting for me today. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, in just earthen vessels. And there is... I am just the epitome of a cracked pot. I really am. I am so, in so many ways, I just can't hold it together. But God is the one that's inside. And as I looked at this, and I was looking at this treasure, what treasure is that? We have the light within us. We have the light of the living God, the one who created the heavens and the earth. It lives in us, in this cracked pot, in this earthen pot. I'm told, because I'm not a gardener by any sense of the word, but I'm told that if you use a terracotta pot that doesn't have a glaze on the outside, that when you plant something in it, you should soak the pot first, because the pot will take all of the water that you put in for the plant, for what's inside. And it kind of spoke to me when I thought about the whole thing of on the outside, not getting the glory. I think of people who take everything so that they soak up, so they look good on the outside. But on the inside, they're dying. The plant, the seed, the whatever is dying because they're taking all the glory. They're taking all that refreshing for themselves. And the plant itself, I'm not explaining this well. I know I'm not explaining this well. That seed that's planted in there will have the water taken away from it, and our inner being dies. And we can't continue on if all we have is soaked up on the outside. We need to make sure that we are soaked in the outside by the Holy Spirit, in our worship, in our prayer, in our Bible reading, standing before God, getting that soaked up so that when a new thing is planted in us by the Holy Spirit, that's what gets the food, that's what gets the water, that's what gets the nutrients that are needed for it to grow from the inside out. God changes us from the inside out. Cracked vessels. We are cracked. All of us are cracked. We are all broken. But when that brokenness is there, the light can shine through. When that brokenness is there. And I am honest. I have got to be 100% honest with you here. I sing, Lord, break me. But I do not mean that. I really don't. I will sing that. In fact, I have gone to not singing that. Because unless I can say, Lord, that's really what I want you to do. I want you to break me. Because a lot of times I don't want to be broken. It's hard. It's hard to get broken. It's hard to go through things that make me cry and disappoint me and cause those cracks to be in there. They're hard to go. I don't want to do the hard things sometimes. But if I don't do the hard things, I can't get that blessing from the Lord. I won't grow until I'm broken. I won't truly grow until I'm broken. And those strong areas, you know, the things of when you repair something, in our broken bone, yeah, we can talk about our body, but also in a plate, in a pot that's been broken. When you put it back together with that extra glue in there, that area is stronger than it ever was before. And so you bump it up against something, it's not going to break there in the same place again. It might break next to it, but it's not going to break in the same place because it's been strengthened, it was broken, and it's been repaired. It is the Holy Spirit that repairs us. It is the Holy Spirit that's at work in our lives to make us more than we ever thought we could be. And God is making us into women that will stand when no one else will stand. He's making us into something that we never thought we could be, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. And so why is it in earthen vessels that he might get the glory? When I have that brokenness in my life, that he might get the glory for what he's done in my life. We are hard pressed, verse 8. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. We are going through all kinds of things. Verse 8 and 9 in the New Bible Commentary says it like this: we are hemmed in, but not hamstrung. Not knowing what to do, but never bereft of all hope. I am never bereft of all hope. Hunted by men, but never abandoned by God. Often felled, but never finished. What an excellent translation that is for me today. What an excellent explanation that is today. Hemmed in, but not hamstrung. Not knowing what to do, but never bereft of all hope. Hunted by men, but never abandoned by God. Often felled, but never finished. Never finished. God has not promised us skies always blue or flower-strewn pathways all our lives through, but he has promised that he will be with us in the midst of it. And in those times when I am perplexed, in those times where I am confused, in those times when I don't know what to do, in those times when I am persecuted, in those times when I feel like I am struck down, I'm not destroyed. I am growing. I am a better person at dealing with those things. And you know what? All of those things that have happened in my life give me opportunity now to minister to someone else who's just gone through it. I thank God for the things that have happened in my life that I used to look at and say, poor me, that I had to go through this. Poor me that this happened in my life. Poor me that la, 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 la. But those are the very things that molded me into the person that I am today, so that I can minister not out of my own strength, but out of what God did through the midst of all of that, so that others can see the light because of it. And so always carrying, persecuted but not destroyed, struck down but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in my body. Carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. I am carrying around the very fact that Jesus Christ died for my sins and he had died for your sins and he resurrected. I carry that in my heart. And because of that, he's going to get the glory, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body, in what we do. The life of Jesus can be manifested in what we do, what this body does, what we speak, what we how we help one another, how we care for one another. The life of Jesus can be manifested through me in that way. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. It is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. We who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake. We have those trials in our life. There are people like these four missionaries who could be delivered to death. How many of you were here last Wednesday when the gentleman spoke from Vietnam? He was an amazing man in what he shared. One of the things that he shared that wasn't shared on Wednesday night was he was with a group of people who were new Christians, and they wanted to be baptized. In that area would get them arrested. And so this underground church, they met at night. They slowly trickled in to the group. And at the appointed time, they were guided to a place where they could be baptized. As they were walking in the dark, no light at all, just being led by this one person, he said the stench was just horrible, and he couldn't imagine where it was that they were at. And they did the baptism. And then they went back, and they slowly trickled out to their homes, away from the church, slowly so that they would not be caught by the authorities. In the morning, the pastor asked, "Where was it that we went last night? Can you take me to it?" He was led to the sewer. They knew that the police would never follow them to the sewer, but it was more important to them to walk into obedience to what they believed God had called them to do than it was that they would be baptized in the sewer. And what an illustration that is, to be baptized in the very place of waste, to be baptized in a place where we're saying, I have been washed, my sins have been washed away. I used to smell like this. My life used to smell like this. People who are giving it all to walk with Christ. Always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. Will I die to myself so that Jesus can shine through my life? Will I die to my own desires? Will I put aside those things of my own life so that he can be glorified? These are questions we need to ask ourselves. So then death is working in us, but life in you. You are seeing, because we will put to death our personal things, because we will put to death our personal desires, you get to see the glory of God. Because we are willing to die for you, you get to see the glory of God. And since we have the same faith according to what is written, I believed and therefore spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. And that is with Psalm 116, which... Okay. I believe, therefore I spoke. Psalm 116, 10. He trusted in the Lord, and therefore what he said was the result of that deep-seated faith. Paul is saying it is the same in my situation, that my life... Because of the things that I go on in my life, my lips are not sealed. And you know what? There are times to speak and there are times to be quiet. And in those times when we are supposed to speak and we know everything around us says, don't talk, don't talk, don't talk about that. You know there something's going to happen if you talk about the Lord in this situation. Something's going to happen here. You're going to be put in jail if you talk about it. When you are saying it by the leading of the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what happens to us, he will care for us. I know personally right now that we are coming to a place where it's going to be against the law for us to speak against homosexuality from the pulpit, even to read the verses out loud that are against homosexuality will be considered a crime. I don't think I can stop saying the truth. I don't think I can stop, no matter what the consequences. Now, I say that now, and it does put a fear in my heart. But I know that if God ever calls me to go to prison, that he will give me the grace and the mercy to get through it. I cannot be silent when he tells me to speak. And I also can't speak when he tells me to be silent. Just don't speak. Just go through that. I get this picture of Brother Andrew, I think it was, who was taking the Bibles through. And he just, in his heart, he wanted them to disappear as they went through. And that's exactly what happened. And he said nothing. He only answered the questions just as they asked him. And he said nothing else, only what God told him to say. And they didn't see the Bibles. They saw nothing as it went through there. That was a long time ago. Now in these days where everything, nothing is hidden, nothing is hidden when you go through the airport now. But sometimes God might say to us, just walk through, just as I've told you. They said, walk through that. You go ahead and walk through that, and maybe you're taking something that the Lord is... I don't want to sound... You know what I'm talking about, okay? So we don't have to... Yeah. So, being prepared for that. Knowing that he who raised up, verse 14, the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. We will be presented with you, Corinthians, Paul is saying. When we go before that throne, we're going to be going there with you. I'm so excited. I'm going to be going there with you guys. I'm so excited to be a part of what God is doing in other people's lives and to be able to get there and see you guys up in front. I've spent my time up in front. I don't need the time up in front. You guys are going to be so much closer to the throne of God than I will. I've got my glory here, but you guys up there, so close to Him. How exciting that is, that I get to be a part of that. For all things are for your sakes, that the grace having spread through the many may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Because He had spoken the truth, it will abound throughout all of the areas. Therefore, we almost end with the same thing we started with, verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Oh man, this body's perishing. Did anybody else get up this morning and rise and shine? Oh no. I'll rise, but I refuse to shine. Mm-mm. You get up and you're, oh, I didn't know that I had that muscle. Oh, I didn't know that was, okay, I'm up. Now what? You know, this body is passing away. These bodies were not meant to last forever. And I'm so glad. I'm so glad that we have something better to look forward to. A glorified body. Something, this is perishing. This outward is perishing. But what's in here? Oh, that will never die. That will never die. That's the eternal life that we have. When this is gone, when this tent passes away, when this is gone, what am I made of? What will be left? For our light affliction, Paul says. And we know what he was going through. We know that he was facing prison. We know that he'd been stoned. We know that he'd been shipwrecked. We know all of these things that had happened. And he said, it's light affliction. It's nothing. It was hard at the time, but it's nothing in comparison, which is but for a moment. This life is just but for a moment. It's working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Exceeding an eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. This is one of the most important scriptures of this text. When I am thinking something, when I am doing something, I want to ask myself, does it have any eternal value? Does it have any eternal value? You ever find yourself in an argument with someone and you know you're right, they know they're right, and so you're having this conversation and you're trying to do it as calmly as you possibly can, but they will not give in to you being right. They're just not going to see it your way. Then we have to ask ourselves, does this conversation have any eternal value? Is this conversation about the fact that you need to commit your life to the Lord and you need to ask Him for forgiveness of your sins, ask Him to live in your heart? That has eternal value, and I will talk about that for as long as the Lord allows me. But if it's on whether or not we should plant this kind of thing there or that kind of thing there, it has no eternal value. Let it go. Let's center in on the things that are important. Remember the things that are important. Remember the things that are important. And when Jesus said, when we take communion, He said, remember me. Remember the things that are important. Jesus said, remember me. And so, Father, I thank You, Lord, for Your word. I thank You, Lord, that for Your presence. I thank You, Father, that You never leave us or forsake us, that You never leave us just standing.
But you stand there with us, Lord. Father, as we look into the days ahead, all of us women who are here and our families that are represented, Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would direct our steps, that our eyes would be set on you, that we would know that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Lord, that we would know when to speak and when to be quiet. Lord, that we would lay down our own pride and our own lives and our own desires for the glory of someone else, that you might receive the glory at the end of the day. Greater love has no man than this, than he would lay down his life for a friend. And you call us friends. And you have laid down your life for us. And yet, Lord, we worship one who is not still in the tomb, but who has resurrected, who sits at the right hand of God. And we are thankful, Lord. Today, we recommit our lives to you. We make that decision, Lord, today I will live for you. I always want to live for you, but I can only live in the moment. And so right now, I will live for you. And I will trust you for the strength to continue to live for you. Father, we pray for our country. We pray, God, for your direction in our country. We pray, God, for every Christian, every person who calls themselves Christian, to humble themselves and pray and seek your face and turn from their wicked ways so that you can hear from heaven and heal our land. We pray, Father, that you would even send missionaries to us that would bring us and challenge us to live for you. And Lord, as the gals get into their small groups, I pray, Father, that you would anoint their time of teaching, or their time of speaking, their time of praying. Lord, that you would be in the midst of it glorified. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
So wake up, wake up, wake up, all you sleepers, stand up. Oh, stand up, stand up, all you dreamers, hands up.
This has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.